sit down, boys. Have I got a treat for you?
Fighting the fight when it comes to technology. We are the knights of the kingdom of geekery. We rise up when it comes to the challenge of discussing all this nerd knowledge. We are the digital soup. We are the digital soup. We bring information with lots of laughter. Tune in now if that's what you're after. Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. We are the Digital Soup. With Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
All right, welcome back. He's Adam. I'm usually Dave. This is the Digital Soup Podcast. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, how's it going? It is going good. Let's see. Yeah, I am Adam. That's true. It caught me off guard with the intro.
I said, I told you pre-show, I've got an idea for just a real quick in and out, bang, bang, we're going to do this and not waste time on a big introduction.
Nope.
And I did it. I dropped it on you, and then I threw you off guard.
Bam. Well, let's see. Blew some snow this week.
That's, yeah,
you know, we had snow. It's still winter in Minnesota. Whatever, no no big surprise there. Nothing exciting.
No.
Yeah, kind of excited about today's show. We're going to talk about what would happen if we lost power for a year.
Yeah, should be fun. It's fitting because last week, I think it is, as we recorded this, our city public utilities here where I live have been terrible lately. I mean, we're talking for the last year or two. And just tons of outages nonstop and just terribly run. They just fired one or two of the top people, and it's a mess. And it was with the wind chills when the power went out the other night at like 11 o'clock at night, and it was like 50-something degrees below zero. And
lovely.
Power was out for nearly 3 hours. So it got a little chilly as we went to bed.
Yeah, it's unnerving when you have kids and that kind of stuff.
Right. So. And it's like, well, what do we do? Well, let's wait and see, you know. And had it gone on for much longer, we probably would have packed everyone up middle of the night, headed out to my parents or something. But the whole town was out, you know, for the most part. So,
jeez, what happened?
They didn't say something. Something they've been probably so mismanaged that
another Timberwolf got caught in the lines.
Yeah, well, they like to blame squirrels up here. I'm not even joking.
Oh, I've seen that
happen. Squirrel got in a transformer, and it's like the number of times they've used that squirrel.
It's transformer.
We must have about, you know, a million squirrels dead somewhere up here from transformer.
I'm not kidding. My house in Sauk Rapids, when I used to live, no longer live there. We lost power, and it was because a squirrel in the transformer that was in my backyard. They had to actually bring the lift up and take this piece of crispy meat out of there.
Yeah, it's extra crazy. Crispy. So when we had already planned on this topic, like, oh, what should we talk about? And we're doing this, and then this power outage happened. I was like, oh, that's fitting. That's fitting. Although I will tease a little bit right now. You and I have been talking, and we figured, you know, the last couple episodes with Jason having his announcement and leaving, and in the last few conversations, even prior to when he left, have all been kind of serious, you know, fairly, I don't want to say heavy, but, you know, fairly serious in tone. Today's could have some fun, could have some kind of heaviness. So next week, I think we're going to try something brand new that we've never done. And we'll see how it goes. So next week should be a much more lighthearted, fun, and unique, because it'll be a first time we've ever attempted this. But other than snow blowing, what else? You been up to anything else this week? Or
No, just busy stuff. Busy stuff. You know, work and a few extracurriculars, but nothing too crazy. How about yourself?
Nothing much. My oldest had her 11th birthday, so we had all the birthday festivities, and felt so bad for the poor kid because over the weekend was her birthday, and she had a basketball tournament on Saturday, then had a friend sleep over. They were up till after midnight, you know, all excited with her friends. Get up Sunday morning, they hang out, and then they went, we had a birthday party, and they let them go swimming and stuff like that. So they were swimming for like, I don't know, 3 hours, something like that. And then she had to get out of the pool, hurry up and change, and go right to her Junior Olympic volleyball practice from like 4 to 6:30. and they run them hard there because it's a little more competitive. And she was just exhausted.
I'm exhausted just hearing that.
Yeah, and then she stayed at a friend's too. So yeah, no, that was it.
There is something that you and I both did this week that we should talk about, which is we actually played online with Jason. Well, technically, I played online with Jason with GTA.
Yep.
And then
I tried.
You and I played a little bit because the game wouldn't run. But yep, we hung out with Jason online this weekend or this week. So that was good.
Yeah, I was having fun because you guys, I saw you were online while we were at her birthday party. And so the one time I was playing a little prank on you guys. The pool, you know, when you get all the kids in a public swimming pool, like at a hotel or whatever, it's noisy as all get up.
Oh, yeah.
And so I saw you guys were in the voice chat, so I just turned my phone on and connected and let all that chaos just bleed in there and then just laughed, you know, and then jumped out. And then I jumped in there when I was on my way home and was chatting with you guys. And you guys sounded like you were having a blast, but I couldn't get in. There was a big download or something that had to happen before I could get in. Yep. But
that was a good prank because I was like, where is that sound coming from? Is this in the game? And I looked up and I'm like, oh, Dave's in here. And all of a sudden you just go, yeah, and then you disconnect.
I was just having some fun. And nice. You and I jumped in. We furthered our progress.
Okay,
our progress.
Wahlberg.
Yeah. We furthered our progression, maybe we'll say, escaping from prison in a way out. And that was fun. Yep. We're technically out right now.
We're out of the prison. We got a little more to go yet.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we get into some ramen?
Well, before we do that, I promised. I had to do it, but I promised on Twitter because I did something else this week and I told people I'd let them know kind of some quick thoughts on it. I went and saw the Sonic the Hedgehog movie with my youngest. And I've got to say, it's worth watching as a video game movie. It was fun, especially a character like that where there's not a ton of story in the Sonic games. You know what I mean? So it's not like when you're watching, say, like the original Resident Evil, where there's this big story behind it or something, you know, there's not much there. In Sonic the game, he just runs around. And they did a really nice job with it. I thought it was fun. Jim Carrey is absolutely over the top, but when is he not? And Sonic looked good. The way the effects and the way he moved, everything else was pretty cool. And the story was very good, fun, family friendly. My youngest was just bouncing off the wall. He was so excited to watch it. And then the whole time we were in there, he was just into it. And we got done and he was just pumped up, like running all over the place. He loved it. So Sonic is, if you got kids especially, or if you're a fan of the game, it's definitely worth a watch. I mean, it's not like, you know, Oscar worthy best movie of the year, but definitely not as bad as I thought it would be when we started talking about it, what, a year ago or two or whatever.
Yeah. Well, originally they really kind of botched up the look of Sonic.
Well, yeah, he was atrocious.
Was it way closer to the game then?
Oh yeah. They did a really nice job with it. It didn't have that real creepy look. And I've got to say there was some, quite a few moments actually where you really were like, it hits you in the feels a little bit. Sonic's story in this game. It's kind of interesting how they pulled it off, but it's really cool. I thought that side of it, you know, he looked good and they gave him an actual sort of backstory that makes you really feel something for the character, which is kind of odd.
Well, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So
well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah. I told Twitter and I had a few people like Jesse, harassing me. Well, what did you think? I said, you're going to have to tune in and I'll share with you there. So I give it the stamp of approval for a family fun movie.
Nice. Impromptu super review from Dave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of things that we watch.
Yeah.
It's time for some ramen and let's talk about Stranger Things season 4 getting a teaser trailer. Now I did get a chance to look at this and it's only like it's less than a minute long.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, you should see it. It's actually it's a little bit surprising. It's actually the trailer less than a minute has a spoiler from the end of the last show. I'm not going to spoil it in here. You guys have to go look at this. We'll put we'll put a link to the article here in the show notes, or just get over to YouTube, or check out the season four.
You can find trailer. that in in the show notes that we have linked up.
That's true. That's true. But we'll see what happens with season four here. Russia is where the scene is.
I hope they call this Stranger Things season four, From Russia with Love.
Yep, exactly.
Was that a Bond film?
I think it was. Yep, yeah, Stranger Things four. From Russia.
This all looks interesting. I you know, the one thing, I know we don't want to spoil it. Do you think, though, let me ask you this, with the spoiler in quotes that they drop from last season, do you think everything is as it appears?
I think so.
You think so? I almost wondered if this was just something that's kind of a, let's drop this out here now, make everyone think it's one thing, and like a giant swerve tied to something else. You know what I mean?
You never know. You can never tell with Stranger Things, but
right.
I want to believe.
Yeah, right. Looks cool. Did they say when it's dropping? I can't remember in that teaser.
That's a really good question. I don't think they did.
No
release date has been announced yet, so.
Yeah.
They dropped it like it's hot. All right.
All right, so I wanted to share this with you. We've talked about before a little bit the new Batman film. That's going to be starring the sparkly vampire himself, Robert Pattinson, as Batman. Now, the thing is, we got our first look at him in just kind of some sneak peek, another minute-long clip, basically, teaser of this thing.
He looks legit.
He looks legit. He's got a jawline. I tell you what, when you see him in the bat suit, that jawline works. Yep. But the fans are going a little crazy because you see at one point in the clip the bat insignia on his chest.
Yeah.
Which it's very reminiscent of, if I remember right, the Arkham Knight game Batman logo, where there's no ears on it. It's just kind of that bat symbol. Doesn't have like the head part of it, if you think of it. But what's got fans up in arms is that it looks like Matt Reeves, who is the director of this film, may be heavily, heavily referencing a Detective Comics story. It was Detective Comics 1000, in which basically Bruce Wayne in the comic had tracked down the actual gun that had killed his parents, or that, you know, that was used to kill his parents. And in the comic, he has it essentially.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Well, in the comics, that's what he does.
His parents died?
Yeah,
the movie isn't even out yet.
His mom's name was Martha.
What? Where did you get that name?
but no, in the comic, he melts down the gun and he turns it into essentially a plate that goes inside his bat insignia, like a bulletproof plate over his chest. So
the bat symbol's made from the gun that killed his parents.
Yep. In the comics, hardcore. And that's what they're saying. When you look at the image in that they posted from the film, when you look at it large, you can see it's clearly like the section where you would hit to drop your clip, and it looks like the bat symbol on his chest in the film is going to be made from a gun also, and it's pretty cool because it's a very dark, but also kind of heartwarming. Like, you know, this gun. Ripped out my heart as a child. Yeah, well, it was used to take everything away, to kill his heart, you know, just crush him as a child, and now it's going to rest over his heart as part of his armor to protect him. So it's kind of poetic in that sense. So people are kind of losing their minds, but I'm excited. I think this film could be pretty decent.
Nice. Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, Halo on an iPhone.
Yeah. Only if you are the chosen one.
Mm-hmm. What exactly does that mean? I will tell you right now.
Chosen 10,000, actually.
Yeah. So have you ever wanted to take on the Covenant on your iPhone? Well, now you can if you're one of the lucky 10,000 to do so. So on Wednesday, Microsoft expanded the beta for its game streaming service, xCloud, for iOS devices. I haven't even heard of xCloud, but previously this was only available to Android users, and now Microsoft's finally letting those people with iPhones and iPads give Xbox game streaming a whirl. This is according to Inverse.com. If you're lucky, you're probably already playing Halo on your iPhone.
Yeah.
So they're only I can barely speak. They are only rolling it out to 10,000 users for now. So even if you've successfully do everything that this article states, you probably still won't get to play for a little while. But that's kind of interesting. So what is xCloud? It is Microsoft's experimental game streaming service. And basically, you can stream from the cloud or you can stream from your console. Is this something we talked about on the show maybe once?
Yep, we mentioned it.
I feel like we did.
Yep, we did, because it's very similar to what Google is doing with Google Stadia. And PlayStation has their service too. I can't think of what that is or if it's just rumored right now. But xCloud was Microsoft's cloud gaming streaming service that they were launching, and it's out. And now they're rolling. It's still in beta, basically, I should say.
Okay.
And they're getting set to roll out the official service. Probably going to coincide, I would assume, with the new console coming.
That makes sense. Very cool.
Let me ask you this. I know in the article they show someone that they've got this contraption where their Xbox controller has a little mount that's holding their phone as a screen, and they're using the controller to play. If you're playing like that, maybe Halo would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But barring the absence of that, maybe you have to have that kind of setup for the xCloud. I'm not sure. But can you imagine trying to play Halo on a smartphone? It's like these people that play Fortnite on their phones.
Small for my eyes.
It's not even my eyes. It's just for my hand. You know, like how can you you can't control it. It's
well, you got ridiculous. The big old sausage fingers. Yeah, it's probably just, more for, I guess, maybe a tablet would be better. So like Jason, if he's playing in his bed with his tablet.
Yeah, although
there's an animated GIF at the top of this page that shows the manual controls with no controller. That actually doesn't look too bad, but doing that on a phone would be really sucky.
Ridiculous.
So I this little contraption they've got where it's hooked to the Xbox controller looks actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool way to
phone,
do it.
That phone is also way bigger than my old iPhone 7, so.
Yeah, and it looks to be about the size of, I have an 8 Plus. And so it looks to be about the plus size, you know, phones.
For, it's plus size model.
Yeah, I'm a plus size phone.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just, go ahead and do what you were going to say.
I was just going to ask if you would ever play with a barcode.
Play with a barcode?
Like, yeah, play music with a barcode.
Music. Well, I wouldn't, but... the folks over it's and now this name I'm gonna say this out there first. This article, I found it on laughingsquid.com, which they put up all kinds of different news stories, and there are also, I've seen this pop up in a number of different places, and Laughing Squid is just pulling some YouTube videos. The people that have done this, it's called Electronicos Fantasticos. It is a, according to the article, a highly inventive band fronted by electronic artist, how do I pronounce this? E.I. Iwata, known for very kind of unique musical instruments. Think about how like Blue Man Group made, you know, all these different instruments out of random pipes and stuff like that. Well, they figured out a way to essentially hook up a barcode scanner to a speaker of some sort. And then they've got like these big poster size layouts of all these different types of barcodes there, different spaces between the lines and all this stuff. And by using the scanners hooked to these speakers, they're able to basically create a variety of different electronic kind of scratching, percussive sounds, different things like that. And when you listen to it, it's actually pretty cool. You know, they've got two different videos in the article. Cool. No, it looks ridiculous. Like you're standing there, you know, waving these barcode scanners around at this thing. But it's pretty inventive. I mean, and you can do it the way it's set up. Looks like with anything with a stripe pattern can produce these sounds. So kind of interesting and something out there, but pushing the limits.
It's almost like two handheld synthesizers, and they can make whatever sounds they want based on whatever they're scanning. Right. It is kind of interesting.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's one post in here, or one set of images from Instagram, from their Instagram, in this article where they show a bunch of different people posing and standing in front of this thing. So they must have it set up as like an interactive display somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when we went down to the science museum and we were just playing around with all the different, you know, experiments, like the chair that shocked you and, you know, all of stuff. Something like that. If they had something like this set up there, it would absolutely be cool to try it out.
Oh, I mean,
just to see what you can come up with. But like you said, very reminiscent of early synthesizer technology, where it's just wacky and out there, and the interface hasn't been smoothed out yet.
It's interesting because in some of the videos, even somebody wearing a striped shirt, they're able to scan and make music out of it. So
yeah,
definitely check that out. We're gonna have the link to that in our show notes here to check out this article. It's pretty interesting.
Right.
Pretty interesting. Now, before we go on to our main topic, why don't we do some Digital Soup recommendations?
Digital Soup recommendations.
Okay. It's so weird to record without the actual, like, music.
The
it's
music. Like, okay, in there, yeah.
Silence.
Yep. Peek behind the curtain. We just sit here and pause as if we're hearing music.
Yep.
And I picture it in my mind.
So my recommendation today, this week, is there's a Mixer streamer named Spartacus. If you play PUBG, if you play Apex Legends, this guy is one to watch. He's one of those rare streamers that isn't pumping out rap music while he's playing. He doesn't swear. He's family friendly. The guy's super fun to watch, and he's really, really good at gaming. And it's just, you know, high energy, good stuff. I've never really enjoyed watching streamers play video games because, you know, it's just not something I do. But if I, you know, if I'm bored or something and I open up Mixer, this is the, and if he's streaming, I'll start watching because it's just, it's wildly entertaining. Very good stuff.
So much of the streaming community, be it on Mixer or Twitch, it feels like it gets into that kind of, what's the right word? I don't want to say kitschy, but like that YouTube, like, what's up? Blah, blah,
da, 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 yeah, just da, over the top. Know?
Yeah, just, you know, all this weird sound effects and music drops. And it's like, how do you do all that and play a game? That I don't understand. I can't. Right.
I have no idea.
I mean, when we were playing Apex Legend, it was all I could do to aim.
Yep. Well, here's the interesting thing with watching streamers like this is I got a sense, and I've never really watched streamers because I'm old, but I got a sense of kind of their setup, that he's got multiple monitors set up all around so he can see the feed coming in. He can interact with people, and the production value of what he does on his channel is so good. Like he's got just fantastic transitions and graphics and stuff like that.
Right.
I had it on before and he lost something and he's like, ah, he got all upset. He must have a pre-made button because he pressed a button that showed like an explosion over where he was sitting, and also just a skeleton sitting there. I was literally laughing out loud. It was just, you know, he's a streamer that doesn't take himself too seriously. He doesn't get all salty. It's something that, like, if your kids were watching, you know, somebody game, this is so far I haven't heard a single swear from him.
Yeah, so, I don't watch a ton of streaming, but I like it when I'm, you know, if I'm looking at a game that I'm on the fence about, like, I wonder if this is any good or not. Sometimes I'll go in and check it out from that aspect, you know. But then oftentimes what I find too is that if I'm on the fence about it and then I watch it and I watch, you know, enough of it, then I'm like, I don't really need to buy it. I'll just watch this. I see the story. Because usually it's, I usually want to buy, you know, I'm looking at like story driven games and.
Yeah,
it's like, well, I'll just watch this and save myself, you know, all that money. Yep. So
that's Spartacus, Spartakus.
Nice.
On Mixer. I'll have a link in the show notes, or Spartacus Live on Twitter. So
awesome.
What do you got for us, Dave?
Well, I'm going to give you two because the first one is very, very give you two. Hit that subscribe.
That's double.
No, the first one, I found this Instagram account. It's called Influencers in the Wild. It's run by a guy named Tank Sinatra, who is himself actually an influencer. But this feed is so hilarious. People, you have to go to a website and submit your videos, and it's basically people going around and catching on camera, you know, other Instagram, you know, people that are shooting videos for social media. And just some of them are just so ridiculously funny. Some of them are like these epic fail things, you know, and I mean, but it's just so like I don't know what the right word is, like just crazy the lengths that these people are going to get these, you know, Instagram viral, you know, influencer type videos.
Oh, this is great.
It is hilarious. Just some of them are not necessarily appropriate, you know, for kids or work. They'll be, you know, nothing. I haven't found anything. Instagram isn't going to show you full on nudity most of the time. But there's some of it that's a little risque, but you know, most of it is just funny stuff. Like there's this one, just a few back, there's a guy, all you can see in this, the thumbnail is a red car on the left-hand edge and a guy in a white t-shirt standing behind the car. And he's trying to do this cool video. And what ends up happening is the car is revving up, and they accidentally put it in reverse and just whack the guy. And it's just random stuff like that. And oh, so it's literally like people catching them on camera doing this.
That's stuff. Awesome. I'm looking at it right now. Have you ever actually seen an Instagram influencer in the wild?
Not where I'm at up here, no. I have, so like when I've been down in the cities, I have, yeah.
When I was in Vegas, there was a few of them when, as we'd walk around, and you'd see them posing, and they'd have a little entourage with them, and they'd be like, the photographer would be going up and like tilting their head just perfectly, and
right,
and just had to get just the right shot, and they're.
I think it would be fun. Yeah, well, and it's tough because you know vlogging culture brought that in as well, you know, and I've definitely seen that. I've been part of that culture. I did over 100 episodes of a daily vlog myself up here. And
what's up, guys?
Yeah, it wasn't so much that, but I remember one time the funniest story was it was winter time, but it was a nice day out, you know, fairly warm, you know, maybe in the 30s or something. And I had gone to Main Street of this little, you know, where I live, a little town where I live. And I was down there just shooting some footage of like cars driving by and different stuff. And I seen these two little old ladies come walking down the street, and they were walking towards me, and I was like, oh, I got to get the, this would be great. You know, great footage, small town, blah, blah, blah. And I had the camera hanging around my neck and hanging at my chest basically. And I just kind of held it in place and hit the button and thought I was being all sneaky. And as they went by, they're like, did you get a good photo? And I was totally busted me. And I just started laughing. I said, I did. Thank you so much. And I was shooting video. So somewhere, wherever that video was on my old YouTube channel, that clip is, I left it in there. It's hilarious. But yeah, this kind of stuff is insane. Now, the second one, so Influencers in the Wild, it's the, I should say, the Instagram tag, if you want to follow them, is just at Influencers in the Wild, all one word. The second feed, or the second recommendation I'm going to give you real quick, this is one just to zone out and watch for fun. It is, I believe it's pronounced Jelles Marble Runs, J-E-L-L-E apostrophe S, Marble Runs, out on YouTube. Now, I don't know what goes into this for this guy making this, how he does it, but he basically puts together these enormous tracks and then has like 10 to 15 different marbles, like, what it sounds like.
Dominoes, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. But what he does is he lifts them up, like opens the gate, starts, and they all race down these tracks. And then what he does, which is so cool, is he basically he does like a color commentary as if you're watching a race over the whole thing to see who's going to win. And it is so fun. And I have to give a shout out to a friend of the show here, Mac from Shutter Time. This is something he has sent me more than one of these videos, and he sent one to me again. I don't know what it was last week.
He's even got marbles in the stands.
Yeah, he does all kinds of stuff. His recent one is like an F1, Formula One. Oh, he calls it Marbula One style race where he's making these tracks.
People could bet on this stuff.
Well, yeah, so many of them, though. Like there's a series called Marble Rally 2019, like rally cars. He made these giant tracks in the sand outside. How, I don't know. It's crazy what he does, but it's so fun and just kind of relaxing. You get sucked in. You look at it and you're like, okay, this is kind of silly. Maybe I'll watch 10 seconds. And 30 seconds in, you're like, this is kind of interesting. And suddenly you're like, go Blue Marble. you know, and you find yourself into it. And each one's like 2 minutes, 3 minutes long.
It's a marbles race.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We've lost our marbles, guys.
Yeah, it is fun, and it's so so creative what he's doing, and the work he has to put into these tracks is insane, if you ask me.
That is insane.
Yeah, something fun.
Insane in the membrane.
I don't have any brains to membranes.
Yeah, he didn't lose his marbles. He's got them all perfectly where he wants them.
Yeah, my marbles are toast.
Well, those aren't even round.
Do you remember, maybe this is a weird obscure reference, you remember the Bob and Tom show on the radio used to be on morning show? Yeah. So they used to, anytime I hear the word toast, and I don't know why it just popped in my head again, but they did a song, I mean this was years ago, late 90s, early 2000s, this little song about toast. I think it was just called I Like Toast or something. Yeah, exactly. All around the country, from coast to coast, people always ask me what I like most. And then his reply was, yeah, toast.
Yep, I remember that song. Actually, yeah, a good buddy of mine, it plays it once in a while.
It's funny. Yeah, it popped in my head there.
You know, toast is one of those few things you could still make if you didn't have power, if you had the right tools and a campfire. I remember on Reading Rainbow, there was an episode where they had the toe toaster. And it was this like spinning metal grid where you put your bread. What? It was a toe toaster. Like you spin it with your foot.
Oh.
So it sits next to the campfire. And LeVar Burton was telling us all about it.
I thought you were toasting your toes. And I'm like,
oh, maybe you could.
What is this? I don't know about that. But
so why don't we do this? Why don't we get into this? Let's say for some reason there was no electricity for a year.
Yeah, 1 year.
Obviously, the gaming industry is taking a huge hit.
Film
Jason
industry
can't play any games. We've got no internet. This podcast is done.
Right.
We'd have to do live podcast and have people just show up and we'll talk.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like traveling bards show. Toss a coin to your digital super host.
Yeah, exactly. So what could potentially cause no electricity? Obviously, there's short-term electrical outages as a result of weather or power failures and things like this. But on a grand scale, widespread electrical outage, typically you're talking EMP, an electromagnetic pulse. And that's something that, if you're not familiar with it, is an actual real phenomenon that was found in nuclear testing. They found miles and miles away electronics were taken out, and that wave of electromagnetism coming from some of their testing was able to actually damage stuff. And even if you have everything on a surge protector, the electromagnetic pulse is faster than that thing can switch to a safe mode.
Right.
So nothing's really safe unless you have like some kind of hardened
heart.
Oh, if your heart is hard. So that's kind of the big scenario that we'd be thinking about is, let's say there was an EMP. Let's say there was some kind of something happened. There's an EMP or who knows, maybe zombies ate through all the wires.
Zombie squirrels.
Or suddenly zombie squirrels get caught up in the transformers. And now we've got no power. So we thought it might be kind of interesting to talk about what that would mean from the, you know, as a tech podcast, obviously our computers wouldn't work, you know,
right.
Nothing would work. And if you're not prepared for such a thing, even short-term power outages can be scary, especially if you live in a climate like ours, mm-hmm. where Dave was just mentioning, you know, it's 50 below with the wind chill outside and with the power being out for three hours, your insulation in your house is the only thing keeping it warm.
Yeah, and that
so without a secondary kind of heat source, you're really in trouble.
Right.
So, what kind of chaos would ensue?
Well, I think, you know, let's kind of look at this from the, you know, I was trying to think, how do we tackle this? Cause this is another one of those topics that's like huge. We could probably talk for hours in super detail, like then this would happen and then this would happen. But let's kind of approach this and say, okay, the power's out. Let's take it day one, week one, and then, you know, long term. So
yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah. So first day, obviously, power goes out first few hours. Most people probably they're not going to, well, everything's out, so you probably aren't going to realize it's the whole world. You know, you're right. going to think maybe it's your town, although if your phones and everything else go out also, that's going to be a bigger clue that something else happened. Yep. Now, in the event of like an EMP or something, that's going to kill all of your vehicles, right?
Except for the really old ones.
Yeah, so anyone with like these old classic cars would still be able to drive around, but any of us that drive,
so Jay Leno's cruising.
Yeah, he's all set. How long till Leno's garage just gets raided and he gets straight up murdered?
Yeah. I give it 7 days until humanity breaks down into factions. Yeah.
But I mean, so day one. Yeah.
Day one. I mean, no coffee. I think like we've got a couple of battery powered radios.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always a good idea to have, and FEMA recommends that.
Yep.
But if you turned on your radio during, suddenly your power goes out, you're annoyed, you know, did something happen? You check your breakers.
Yep.
You check your phone. Now you have no, you know, if there was an EMP, your phone would actually go out and would no longer be working too.
Right.
But if it's just electricity that you've lost and it's lost everywhere, there's, you're not going to have a cell phone signal because there's not going to be power
unless radio stations, unless
the towers
though,
are generated. But the radio stations would be out.
They would be out. There'd be nothing but static on the air.
Yep.
You'd be like, whoa. I think by the end of day one, panic starts to set in as people start to wonder what is going on.
Yep. And I bet you it would be just super quiet.
Yeah. Which is a nightmare for me.
Creepy.
Yeah.
One time I used to run a server room, and one time somebody said, power's out. And I walked in there and it was dead quiet. I'd never heard the room quiet in like 4 years.
Oh, really?
You know, there's so many fans and of servers and computers that are running. I'm like, oh, no.
Right. Well, you know, a thought occurs. Yeah. I have that. What do they call it? The ringing in your ears. Tinnitus.
Tinnitus.
So I have. Tinnactin. Yeah. Yeah. Boom. I sprayed that powder in my ears and it goes away.
It's all it takes, folks. Just sprinkle some of that in there. Bam.
Boom. Tough actin, tinactin.
Takes care of tinnitus.
But no, I have that. So when it is really quiet, I just hear that ringing. Like I have to sleep with a fan on. Otherwise it drives me nuts. I can't sleep. But, you know, assuming in this conversation though, do we want to tackle it from the EMP standpoint, which is going to kill everything? I mean, cars, phones, everything. Or do we want to tackle it just no electricity?
Let's just do no electricity. I mean, EMP is one scenario, but that takes out everything. That's your worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Basically, if your power grid is off, well, maybe we talk about it that way because it's not such a huge.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's still huge because
it's still everything nowadays.
You've got major problems.
Right.
If there was an EMP, your generator's not going to work probably.
Right.
But if you if it's a regular power outage and you have a generator, it might still work.
So
I think some of the first things I think of are like your refrigerator is no longer working. You're going to have food that can spoil.
Right. So you're going to, if we look at this, your first concern is going to be immediate food storage. Like, okay, how long is this going to be? You're not going to know that first day. You're probably going to think like, it's going to come on any time.
Mm-hmm.
But as that first day rolls into the second day and there's still no update, you have to assume by that point, if it's just the electricity, there would have been some way for them to get word out that, look, this is worldwide. There is no power.
Yep. Start setting your squirrel traps, folks. You're going to need some extra food.
Right. So you're looking at crispy. At your core needs, you're looking at heat to stay warm if it's wintertime like it is here.
Yep.
You're looking at food. Now.
And in some cases, water. Especially water. If your pump runs on electricity.
Yep. You know, I was thinking about this, and I live in town, a small town, but it's a town. Everything, if I have no electricity, I have water as long as what's in my tank. And that's it. And
so you don't have pressure coming in from the city's water supply?
It's pumped from the city. So I believe, because I think when our power goes out, you can flush a toilet a few times and, whatever's there, but then it's done. And so heat is out, no water, no food. panic's going to set in.
No internet, no Instagram.
Yeah, no nothing. How am I going to complain about this to my neighbors?
I can't influence right now.
Right. Well, and I thought about this, and I've been giving it a lot of thought, and I think, you know, that first, when you realize, once you first find out that, like, it's worldwide, my first move is I'm basically grabbing anything and everything of value that I need out of my house, and anything that I can use, clothing, blankets, all of that, and I'm packing up and I'm heading up to my parents' house up in the country. Main reason being that there's forest, there's at least wood, so we could easily...
Squirrels.
What's that?
Squirrels.
Oh, squirrels. Well, we got deer, we've got, you know, wildlife yep. up there if we needed to hunt. That's going to be the first concern is trying to make sure, okay, you got some food. Because think about this. A lot of us, in Minnesota and in these more rural places, we grew up with gardens. And a lot of us mm-hmm. would know how to plant a garden and be able to grow vegetables. But if it happens out of the blue, you're not stocked up from the year before. You have nothing.
No.
So, I mean, you're going to be eating whatever is in your refrigerator, whatever you can get your hands on at a grocery store, maybe. And I think personally, chaos would reign and it would happen quickly in today's culture. Well,
you've got to go through that stuff first.
Yeah.
You know, use your refrigerated stuff before it spoils. And
yeah,
I think as soon as people, you know, no longer have food options, yeah. you know, they're going to drive, but they're going to find the power's out everywhere. That means restaurants.
Yeah.
They're not going to be open. Your grocery store, those fridges are dead. So it's going to be canned goods, and this is where I think some of the panic sets in.
Yeah.
Plus, not to mention, you're not going to be able to use your check card.
No.
So if you don't have any kind of cash or anything to trade,
well, they probably really won't even be able to open their till.
No, probably not.
That's all electronic. So I mean, that's why I think once it gets known that the whole world is out, within a week, that's when you start seeing people just kind of mob mentality rolling up on any grocery stores, any hardware stores, anywhere, you know, anything they need for supplies. It will just be people rolling up in the mob mentality, taking what they need. Yep. And even if they don't need it, anything they can, because they're going to be trying to stock up on anything and everything.
Until they run out of gas,
yep.
because the gas stations aren't going to be able to pump anymore.
Nope. Yeah. So it's whatever's in your tank. That's it.
But this is when people start to get dangerous, when they get desperate, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part. And, to top it off, one of the other huge concerns, of course, with no refrigeration, you've got, mm-hmm. you know, people that rely on medication that needs to be, you know, kept refrigerated, insulin.
Yep.
Things like that that are.
This happened, where was it? Venezuela, Chile, one of those places, not that long ago, a couple of years back. They lost power for, I don't know if it was a week, something like that, but there was people trapped in hospitals. A lot of people died like real quickly because you have all these people, think about like in dialysis, where they need their dialysis treatments. You had people that had, you know, been in the hospital and opened up for a surgery or whatever, and power's gone. Lights
suddenly just go off.
Yep, and they can't.
Oh, that'd be just a nightmare.
You know, they can't finish the really operation. Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff. So right off the bat, day one is, well, until the generators go out, you're going to see, I think, a lot of casualties.
Traffic lights all go out.
Yep, which up here, I'm at, who cares?
Yeah, but you think of a metro area.
Yeah, New York City.
People honking. You know. It's just like the movies.
Yeah.
Wow. Think about how reliant we are on electricity. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Yeah.
So when we look at it from a global world standpoint, there is massive implications. And that's where a lot of like the doom and gloom thinking is going to come, I think, unfortunately, because, you know, your food, that's all shipped and relying on gasoline, relying on airplanes, you know, boats, whatever it is. Not to mention that, but a lot of the equipment that processes the food is all mm-hmm. relying on all your factories, you know, all that. There's very little that is locally grown, or, you know what I mean, harvested and everything else. So it's not going to take long for all of your food systems to stop. Like you said, your water supplies. Yep,
exactly.
It's insane when you really think about like, power's out for a day and how annoyed we get. And then you start thinking about like, yeah, but if it was out, even 1 year, I think you lose.
I think our population is decimated after a year.
Yeah.
By far. Ooh. That's why it's just creepy to even think about. You know what I mean? Right. And that's, you know, mankind has survived for, you know, how many thousands of years without electricity.
Yep.
But we've conditioned ourselves now that we are so reliant upon it that we take it for granted. Yep. And those of us who have gone through power outages, when I was a kid, we had a big ice storm. Like you were up there too. I don't remember what year this was, but it made the birch trees bend over. It was so strange. But our power at our house was out for 3 days. This is dead of winter.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little trailer house, and so not much to it. But, you know, we kind of resorted to, because it was winter, you could just take stuff out of the fridge and set it outside.
Yeah.
You've got your built-in fridge there.
Yep.
And then we just had a big double barrel wood stove in the garage. So we actually had to go out to the garage, fire up the wood stove, and sleep out there. And it's about, you need to be prepared for that kind of stuff if you live in an environment that has harsh conditions like that. But every place, you need food.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of scary when you think about how many people don't have, you know, even a 3 day supply of food. They have to go to the grocery store, or they go out to eat all the time or something. And it's interesting because ready.gov and FEMA, and there's all the government actually recommends having, you know, all this kind of these plans in place, but none of them really prepare you for that long-term one whole year kind of a thing.
I look at it, and, you know, I was talking to my dad about this because the idea fascinated me so much, and it does get dark. I mean, you're talking like apocalypse dark, you know, in a hurry as you start thinking about it, unfortunately.
Dark.
But he goes, well, I don't know. You know, he said, you know, think about like when the Great Depression hit, you know, back in those days, you know, there was, people didn't have anything and they made it. And I said, yeah, but think of this. Back then, most people burned wood. Most people weren't relying on electricity. They had outhouses. They had wood stoves. Nowadays, you can't even hardly, I don't even know if it's legal to have a wood burning furnace, a wood stove in your home, because your insurance just won't cover it. It's too big of a risk, they say, for fires, you know. And so
they do still make them.
Yeah. But it's very stringent. And I think that, like, because of the insurance coverage costs and if your insurance company will let you do it, most people don't have it. It's all propane, natural gas, fuel oil.
And propane accessories.
Yeah. I mean, some places they're doing, you know, a lot of people have like the outdoor wood furnaces, which those are great, but they rely on electricity.
And I've got a wood fireplace, but it does not heat the whole house.
No.
It's just not big enough to do it.
Right. I mean, growing up, we had
a little warm.
Yeah. We had an old, growing up, our heat source when I was real young was a company, the brand was, I believe, Ashley, an old Ashley wood stove. And you'd feed that thing. Yeah, kind of. And you'd keep feeding wood into it and, you know, constantly hauling and splitting wood and everything else. And the house would sometimes be too hot. You know, you couldn't regulate it. It was on or off, you know.
Yep.
But you'd be all right.
We still had modern refrigeration.
Right.
There is a huge contingent of, you know, like there's both preppers and then there's people that are, you know, old time off the grid kind of like pioneer days kind of stuff.
Yep.
They actually used to be able to keep ice all year round by covering it in sawdust.
Yep.
It's weird how there's a lot of these tricks of just basic living that we have gone completely away from that we don't have the skill set for anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. Now let's talk about that. This was the other thing that popped into my mind right away. We lose power for one full year. Obviously, we're going to see our population be decimated in short term because people would just be starving to death, you know, freezing to death, all of these kinds of things.
Not to mention you can't call the cops or the fire department if there's an emergency.
Exactly. And I think we'd see, you know, the looting and rioting and the strong trying to just take what they wanted, you know, from those who couldn't defend themselves. Now, the one thought I had, though, on a slightly more comical yet serious side is anytime it's always a joke up here in Minnesota, it's a long winter and you see a lot of babies born about 9 months later.
Yep.
because you get these long stretches of cold, brutal cold weather, and there's
folks
nothing
are trying
else
to stay
to do.
Warm.
Yeah, they're at home staying warm. Loved ones, you know, people doing what people are going to do, and I think I honestly think as much as we see people dying from all the rest, you'll also see a huge amount of babies being born that first year. Because I think that
at home,
yeah, at home, whether they survive or not, or the mothers survive
boil some
the pregnancies,
water.
Yeah, throw some dirt on it. No, but I think we see a lot of that, because when you think about today's culture, people, mm-hmm. we talked about this a little bit last week with kids and technology, and it's even, you know, a lot like our generation is on the borderline, and people though have forgotten like how to entertain themselves if they don't have a computer or a television or a phone or something, you know, they can stare at. And yep. you know, with nothing else to do, they'll be sitting there in the dark or over candlelight, get the kids to bed, and well, what should we do? I don't know.
Stare at your hands.
Yeah. Well, you know, things will happen, I think.
I think so. I also think I think there's going to be a large contingent of people working hard to restore electricity. And yeah. I don't know if, you know, name the situation. If it's EMP, you've got problems because all the equipment's damaged. If it's, you know, for some reason, just all the power grids are down, you know, is there going to be, is it actually going to last a whole year? Or are people going to start, you know, building new power stations somehow?
Trying, yeah.
No electricity. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
are there any old electrical generator things that are just, you know, put in storage that you can get out? That'd be great.
Well, it makes you think of
throw a turbine in the river and get some electricity out of it.
Right. Windmill solar. Style. Yeah. Well, and that it makes you think of a little bit, you know, even though people have mixed experiences with the video game, but of Fallout 76, where that's a post-apocalyptic world. There is still some electricity, obviously, there, but very much
that
the
was
same
like
thing.
Nuclear,
right? But people scavenging, yep. you know, you find that kind of situation happening. Where do you think you stand on it, as far as with your upbringing, with your skills, life skills, or whatever you want to call it, that you have up to this point? Where do you think you sit odds wise? Of being able to see your family through it.
Well, obviously it's tough when you have family,
right?
You know, especially when you have children that have, you know, you need to keep them fed and everything. Mm-hmm. I probably have, I don't have a year's worth of supply of anything.
Nope.
For no, starters.
I certainly
got a very small emergency water supply. And this goes back to when I used to work in government, and I wasn't in public health, but my office was located in there. Mm-hmm. So I was constantly talking about, you know, this kind of stuff with the emergency preparation folks there.
Sure.
So I've got some emergency water and that kind of stuff. I've got, you know, some water filtration, things like that. Water is your most important resource, you know, when it comes to survival. And then you've got food. And just trying to make sure you have, you know, non-perishable items and stuff like that. It's my pantry is about average. You know, it last us, you know, a few weeks, and then pretty soon you're just eating canned tomatoes and you're hating life.
Right.
You know, oh, this is great. You know, one of the things they recommend is to have a stash of cash for buying stuff, because like what I mentioned earlier, the cards aren't going to work.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have, you know, I'm not going to get into what I've got, but I wouldn't be able to just go and survive for a year off of the cash in hand. Like that. Maybe trade some ammunition or something like that. You know, I've
by
one of the most versatile
some
rifles.
Ammunition.
Yep. Somebody's
you mean
need 22
like
rounds.
Flinging lead? Give it to me
no,
or else.
Like,
no, I'm just kidding.
Here's 20 bullets. Give me a
right. Prison.
Give me
prison
some
rules.
Lettuce.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the things that I remember talking about was, you know, which firearm is the best to have in a post-apocalyptic world. And there's no right yep. answer for that stuff. But one of the most versatile survival firearms, though, is a 22 rifle. Because the ammunition is so, it used to be really readily available. I think it still is, probably.
It's
And most often than not, yeah. you're hitting, you know, small animal, small critters, stuff like that.
Sure. Well, you can, you know, if you know what you're doing, you can take down a deer. You can take down with a 22 or 22 Magnum.
Shoot in the eye.
No, you'd have to be close and you'd have to plug it right in the head. And you'd have to get good at that. It's doable, especially with the 22 Magnum. But, you know, thing is, like, that kind of ammunition and stuff, it is fairly readily available. However, if this happened and it was an indefinite amount of time, along with a grocery store, I think that's the next place you see. And you see it in all the movies.
In some places, it might be the first place that gets hit.
Right.
The outdoor gun store and take all the stuff.
Yep. Take anything, you know, camping supplies, hunting supplies, all of that, ammo, guns, everything will be raided. So at that point, it becomes a matter of, you know, what can you do to, you know,
how do you defend yourself?
Right. Defend yourself and conserve that, because that's where it will really come into play. But.
See, that's where I am lacking in. I don't know how to do trapping.
Yep.
You know, snaring of animals and stuff like that. And I'm not an expert knife thrower or spear person. But it would be kind of cool to ninja star a bunny rabbit in the apocalypse.
Well,
but, only if I have to.
Right. See, I could, the hunting side of it, I haven't done a ton of trapping, but I've seen some, you know, my fair share of it over the years. And I think I'd be able to make that work if needed. The hunting, as far as that goes, I mean, I'd be fine there. You know, whether it be small animals or larger, you know, game, whatever, we'd make that work. And that's good. That would be kind of first mission operation is get some meat, because much like you said, I don't, you know, we don't keep a super stocked pantry. You know, it'd last us maybe a week.
Yeah, most people don't.
No, and
you know, I had I knew some people that were, I think they were Mormon, and they had this whole like prepper attitude. This is years and years ago.
Sure.
But I remember the guy saying he had, like, his basement was just full, you know, of like a year's worth of they stocked a year's worth of canned goods that they would rotate in and like use.
Sure. Yep.
And I thought, wow, that is like a tremendous. Tremendous idea of how to do it. So basically, you know, it wasn't just in case of emergency, like a apocalyptic emergency. It was, what if you lost a job and you didn't have money and you know, stuff like that. It was just good planning, kind of the olden days style stuff. That'd be wild. I think I would worry about security. Of course, especially if people are starting to get desperate.
Yep.
You know, it would be a scary world.
Yeah, and I think that's, for me, why my first thought, like I said immediately, was once you knew it was out worldwide, it would be operation grab anything and everything.
We're all going to Dave's parents.
Yeah, and I'd get to my parents and I'd board up the house. People are going to break into it, you know they are, but I would basically make sure there was nothing of use there, nothing of value. And, you know, anything I needed, anything I could use, anything personal that I really wanted to save would come with us. We'd get to my parents, and then, you know, we've got kind of a base camp, but it's up in the woods. You know, it's out in the country. And so you're going to have people still coming through there, but you're not going to be like in town where at any time of the day, it's going to be constant people walking around, you know, trying to break in. So it gives you a little better security on that side, gives you better access to food supply. Up there, we've still got the, you know, my parents' well is a regular well, you know, like anyone else, but we still have on the property the old pump well.
Oh, like the hand pump?
Hand pump it, and it still works. And
that's awesome.
It wouldn't be the most pleasant tasting, especially at first, till you kind of kept water running through it, but we pump it still regularly every year, and it still works. And so you got that, and we've got equipment for both hand equipment and, you know, powered equipment while we could for gardening and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right. But, well, it's good to have, I mean, to have hand tools as well as your power tools as a backup.
Yep.
Your solution there is really the long term.
Yep.
That's the good one, where you've got a location that is sustainable because there's resources available.
Yep.
And it doesn't require electricity to run everything.
Yep. And there's two different rivers within a mile.
Oh, so you can go fishing too.
So could go fishing. You got water supply there if you need it.
Get a cow so you can milk it and then make some kind of cereal.
Well, see, the neighbor about a mile away, he's got about 8 or 10 cows. So okay. I think
well, so you got some beef there too.
We'd make a little community out of it and do some trading or whatever.
So, folks listening, they might not have that. So what can we recommend for the average listener?
Boy, recommendations are tough. I mean, right now, the best thing.
I'm
going to
start
do,
with this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say
starting for just a blackout.
Yeah, just a blackout.
Flashlights, batteries, some candles. They make survival candles that burn a long time.
Right.
You know, lighters or matches. You remember your basic staples are food, clothing, shelter, and I'd add water to that big time.
Exactly.
So if you have a generator, make sure you have fuel. Water, that means keeping, you know, at least five gallons in a storage container or something like that.
Right.
Or stock up on the bottled water.
Exactly.
And then canned food. That doesn't require refrigeration. That'll last several days. And then remember to have food and stuff for your pets.
Exactly.
So some other good things to have, you know, if you have a propane gas grill, stuff like that where you can still cook, or, you know, a camp stove or anything like that.
Little fire pit even.
It's good to chop some wood, have a cord of wood sitting around if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people that live in apartments in the cities, you're not going to be able to do any of that stuff.
Right.
In those situations, have a plan of where you might want to go and make sure you can get there either on foot or on bike.
Right.
You know, that you can get to, or if you have a resource. And if you don't have one, you can check with your local city, you know, their emergency preparation stuff or hit ready.gov and find more tips or FEMA.
Well,
by the way, obviously we're not experts in this stuff.
Right.
It's just kind of interesting and intriguing to talk about.
Yeah. And that's the big one. Exactly. Like you said, we're not experts or anything, but the big one, if you're in a bigger city, like for myself and yourself and more rural communities, a little easier time, you know, having access to some of this stuff, wood and water and stuff like that. If you're in a big city though, I mean, you're not going to have that readily available necessarily. And so it becomes essential then to find out, like, okay, with where I live, what happens in the event of a major emergency? You know, you're still going to need shelter.
Yep.
So you might not end up necessarily leaving where you live. You know, if you live in an apartment complex, get used to walking stairs. But you may be able to stay there, you know, and in the nature of those places, you might actually be okay in terms of heat and in bad weather conditions, stuff like that, because there's such large buildings and so many people in them that it does tend to main, you know, hold a little of that heat, you know, better than say an individual house might. But you would definitely need to figure out, like, how can I get food? I mean, you know, you'll be seeing people in Central Park just doing their best to, you know, lure in the ducks at the duck pond. And
you know? Here's some fake bread. It's just paper, psych.
Yeah. But yeah, that I don't know. Like, if you were in a big city, man, that becomes terrifying. Like, it's scary enough for me to think about, like, what would I do in this case? But I kind of have an idea. And I think I'd be able to, between myself and my parents and my dad, in particular, with, you know, his knowledge and mine, and I think we'd be all right keeping the family alive.
Well, that's good. That's good.
But in a big
city, it's also good to have good neighbors and good resources.
Right. Right. Yeah. In a big city, that might be my biggest advice, between finding out how the city is prepared, you know, what you can do there. And start making some friends outside of the city.
There's our number one step.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah. That you can either trust, you know, to form a community and help each other out that aren't going to just turn on you, or, you know, places where you might be able to, you know, have some place to go outside of the city. But yeah, that would be wild. Now, I don't want this to be all doom and gloom. So
no, it is.
But I'm going to ask you this. Assuming you've got your family taken care of, you know, everything's okay on that front. Survival is okay. So you're not worried there. It's hard work, but you're okay.
my physical fitness has improved because I'm not playing video games, right, or watching TV. And
you're walking everywhere.
Yep, you're walking all over the place.
Chopping your own wood. So my question is this. In a world without power for 1 year, obviously you're not traveling real far. No. What do you want to do? What would you love to see in that scenario? Or like, what were some things you would love to do if there was no power?
Honestly, maybe organize a commune.
I'm talking for fun.
Or do you mean
like, okay.
Well, 'cause I get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
An all acoustic band of some sort. Bring back the upright bass, a drum kit, acoustic guitars.
And play at Red Rocks.
play at Red Rocks. That'd be sweet.
That's what I mean. Like,
get an analog. Find a supply of analog film, a big supply of analog film and a camera, and just shoot until the power comes back on and then see what it looks like.
Well, you wouldn't have to wait for the power to come on to see what it looks like.
I would, because I wouldn't be able to order any chemicals online to process the film.
Oh, that's true. But if you're finding the supply of film, I mean, the supply of chemicals.
If there's a dark room around.
Yeah.
No, that's an interesting question. What would be fun? So what would be something fun to do if there was no power for a year?
Yeah.
Instead of watching Survivor, I'm playing it right now.
Yeah, real
this
life
isn't a game.
Real life level ups. Or just maybe like unlock fire.
find a bunch of bicycles and then build some kind of contraption that's like a multiple people can pedal it, kind of a car.
Yeah,
just to get the family places,
like a giant tandem type family size bicycle. That's the thing. Like for me, assuming you could get there with relative ease, so it wasn't, you know, something that you know, like Oregon Trail, where you're gonna die on the way. I think it would be wild to see places like a Vegas or a big city,
just dark.
When it's just dark, like there's no street lights,
dark Vegas,
you know, no ambient lights. You look at a place like Times Square or New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to go there because obviously that impacts the survival stuff, you know?
Right, right.
But if you could have a way to, like you say, get there and get photographs of it or just experience like a totally dark, even down in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area downtown, where it's lit up and light and loud all the time. There's music playing, you know, all the stuff. Just experience something like that in total silence.
Yeah, that's about it, because the overshadowing of trying to survive it and take care of your family would stress me out to no end. And the only solace would be at nighttime. Do you know how bright the stars would be with all the big city lights out?
Yeah.
It would just be brilliant up there. Yeah, you know,
I mean,
and
imagine
stargazing and stuff would be
imagine
great.
Astrophotography from the center of Times Square with all them buildings in the foreground and nothing but stars.
Ooh, I like it.
I mean, that kind of thing. I would hunt a lot. I mean, obviously,
you know what? Maybe we should take down the power grid just to see what happens.
Yeah, no, our luck, something goofy will happen. They'll be like,
I don't know
there was
anything about power grids.
Yeah, there was this podcast called Digital Soup that talked about this just a week ago. In some weird, we are not advocating this. We don't want this.
No, no, not at all.
It is scary.
We don't
though.
Want that to happen. It is. It is scary.
You know, there's a lot, though, I think. How do I put this without sounding cold? As horrible as it would be, and we'd see loss of life on a scale that would take decades and decades and more centuries to rebuild, I think there would be the people that survived. I think there would be good lessons. You know, like a quality of life, like a kind of refocusing of what's really important. You know, you'd realize the family values, you'd realize that kind of stuff. And I think coming out at the end of 1 year, it would make a tremendous difference in mindset.
Oof. Maybe we don't go back to power. Are you kidding? I need to watch some movies and play some games. Get online and take a picture of myself.
I'm an influencer in the apocalypse.
In apocalypse influencer.
Yeah, you're just carving your image into trees. Hope somebody likes this.
You're out there in your
influencer.
Right.
All those digital pictures I've got stored on my hard drive are no good. You can't look at them. We'll have to get that one apocalypse computer that we were talking about.
Right.
Except without power, I think we're still screwed there. So
yeah, probably. I just picture your carvings in your trees with hashtags on them. Like,
yeah, it's got a hashtag and you're making duck lips.
Yeah, hashtag influencer.
Yep.
Go up to the Farmer John next door and say, I'm such an influencer. You just should give me some milk.
give me some milk. In exchange, I'll give you exposure.
Yeah, you're going to get so much exposure from this.
Yep. You know that tree out on 55?
Hashtag yep. Truth.
Yep, I'm gonna say I was here and it was great.
Right. Oh, man.
Dogs are running the streets. Anyway, we could go on and on and on right. about this. But I do have one book to recommend in this realm. I think I've recommended it on this show before. But it's called 1 Second After. And I think the author was William Forsten.
Oh, is this he was like a pilot and scientist and all that? The author?
I don't remember exactly. I think he was a historian in the book.
Historian, okay.
But basically it's about what happens after an EMP. And it was forwarded by Newt Gingrich or something like that.
Okay.
But it kind of acknowledged that this is a real risk. But that was a fascinating book on the apocalypse.
And one that I recommend because of the story, but not because it's uplifting, is The Road by Cormac McCarthy. Yeah. Super dark, super depressing.
Super difficult to read.
Yeah.
Because the way that he does the grammar in that book is like non-existent.
Yep. But it's a good look at a post-apocalyptic world like that, too. There's a number of stories out there.
Also, feel free to check out The Book of Eli. With what's his name? Denzel Washington. Yep. That was a good post-apocalyptic movie. Yep. 28 Days Later for zombies. Mm. Mad Max Fury Road. I Am Legend.
Right.
Waterworld.
If
you want to be hilarious. It's a mutation. So
I'm going to throw disaster apocalyptic movies.
Okay, let's hear it.
Peter Pan. The when you look at whether it be the original. Animated, you look at Hook, which was with Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not a post-apocalyptic world, it is a film that is set in an island of Neverland where there is no power.
But there's magic.
These people go from bustling London, these kids, into this weird, magical, wonderful place of pirates and random stuff. Post-apocalyptic film of the century.
Oh, Peter man. Even
the new remake is going to have them all like fighting zombies.
Okay, so you heard it here. Dave thinks that Peter Pan is the most post-apocalyptic movie of the year.
Yep.
I'm liking this.
The roadmap to Disney success. Movies.
Now Wall-E, that's kind of post-apocalyptic.
True, although humans are kind of a lost cause there.
I gotta go with Cinderella, man. Off the grid.
Right. Cinderella. Yep. She's good at scrubbing floors and but she's
after a fire pit.
Yeah. She convinces mice to turn into things and do her work for her.
Yep. Somebody was high. Anyway.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. They don't live on the grid.
No, they're underground.
That was before a grid was even created.
No, exactly.
As if it was real. Remember when the dwarves were real?
dwarves are real.
No, I mean those kind.
Oh, grumpy.
Yeah, sniffy, sneezy, dopey. Yeah,
chumpy.
Yeah, remember when they were real people? Dumpy. Farty. Poopy.
Where's Poopy the dwarf? Dumpy.
Dumpy. Hey, Dumpy.
Ha!
Oh, man. We're off the rails.
Yes, we are. So head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com for all things Digital Soup. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you're listening to us. And as always, if you want to leave us a 5-star review, that'd be great. And be sure to tell a friend about us. On Twitter, we can be found at Digital Soupcast. And if you like what you hear, head on over to our Patreon page and feel free to help us run this show. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to you listeners, have an awesome week, and we'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.